T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And here we go.
I'm in over my head.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions? He's got answers. You've got problems? He's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Live from way out behind the station in the News Radio, WRVA, Home Improvement Shop. This is the Home Show with me, your humble home improvement guru, Richard McCann. Welcome, everybody, to a chilly, chilly Saturday. Oh, I really need to get the heat fixed in my truck. I've only been complaining about it for 3 years, right? Why not fix it when it's warm? Because I'm one of those people like, I'm not cold right now, so I'm not going to fix it. How can I be the person that tells people to do maintenance around their house and I don't even do it to my own vehicle? That's not true. I just got new tires. But other than that, don't have heat. I don't care. It is going to be a great Saturday. For those of you that are running the marathon, God bless you. Because I don't want to do it. I've made fun of the marathon before and people that run marathons. My sister-in-law, I think she's going on like her 36th or 37th marathon. I hate running. I used to say I only run when chased. Now I'm so old that I'm not even going to run when chased. It's just going to turn and face it here. Okay, fine. Let's just do this. I'm not getting away. But Jordan, how have you been this week, my friend?
It's been a good week.
I saw something that made me think of you. In a good way.
Okay.
When have I ever said anything bad about you, ever? No. Anything detrimental?
No. Only when I've deserved it.
Well, that's everybody, dude. The trick to being a good boss, any of you that think about starting your own business, the trick to being a good boss is when people do things right, you praise them. When they do something wrong, you come down on them. Too many bosses only do it one way. But no, I saw a movie that was absolutely fantastic, and my wife liked it, which I was actually surprised, and I thought about you.
Okay.
Have you seen Fighting With My Family?
No, but I want to.
It is on cable right now. I don't know what channels you've got. I spend too much on TV. But I didn't even know who this person Paige was or is. I don't watch wrestling. I gave up on wrestling in the early 90s. You know, I was the classic eight. When I watched wrestling.
Back in my day.
It came on at 2 o'clock in the morning right after Saturday Night Live, which was the WWF.
Right.
And then on Sunday morning, afternoonish, was the NWE or it was the
NWA.
Local. Yeah, NWA. It was the local. It was like the East Coast
right
guys. You know, your Dusty Rhodes and your Ric Flairs and all those guys.
Yeah.
That's when I watched wrestling. And GLOW. I watched GLOW for the very, very short period of time it ran.
Yeah.
But Fighting With My Family is the story of this
Paige.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a little bit by the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't crass. It wasn't rude.
Yeah.
It really shows what these people go through just to get there.
Yeah.
I'm going to strongly encourage you.
Yeah.
Watch it with your family.
It was
a good one.
It's not, I'm sure you've talked to Jeff Katz. Jeff Katz has been involved in the wrestling world for decades now. And even he would tell you that, you know, it's not just either having, you know, super strength and a beer gut or just being a bodybuilder. You know, you have to be athletic. You have to be strong. You have to be smart. It's not just show up and get pushed around or get beat up. It's because there's a lot, you know, you're putting your own personal safety on the line. Yes, it is scripted.
We all understand.
Everyone knows it's scripted, but it comes down to actually executing the moves. It's a choreographed thing, and you know, if you mess up, people are gonna know.
People are gonna get hurt.
Yeah, or you could hurt yourself, or you could hurt someone else. And that is ultimately one of the first. If you've ever been to a wrestling school. That is one of the first things that they'll tell you is if you don't do this right, you could break your neck. You could break someone else's neck. You could paralyze yourself, you know, because it's an inherent risk when you get involved with sports entertainment.
That part I kind of already stood. What really stood out to me was they were talking about they really showed the fact that you could be the greatest wrestler in the world, but if you don't have it, you know, that something, that thing that's going to make you connect with the audience. And, you know, these people have been doing it for decades. They know what. That was one of the parts that really stood out to me. I mean, I'm not an athlete by any stretch of the imagination. But not only do you have to be these great athletes, and you got 300-pound guys that are doing backflips. That's insanity to me.
Yeah.
But they also have to be performers.
Yep.
And... Yep. I mean, a lot of us, I've done some performing, I'm sure you've, well, this is performing, right, what we're doing right now, but yeah, it was just good. I'm encouraging you to check it out.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard nothing but good things about it. I mean.
And it's from, the WWE made it.
Yeah, this is, it's one of those, I mean, there haven't been a lot of wrestling movies made, but the ones that have been made have been kind of, you know, it hasn't been like an accurate portrayal of what it takes to actually become someone that actually gets TV time in the WWE.
Now, I watched, and they won awards for it, The Wrestler, a couple of years ago.
Right, yeah.
And that was about for those local wrestling guys.
Yeah.
And I know a couple of them. And, yeah, the dream is to be, you know, on Saturday night or whatever night, I don't know. But... I don't. I'm sorry.
It's a lot of nights a week.
It's a lot of nights a week. But, I mean, they will go out there and just destroy themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And get up and do it again.
Well, it's not just being on the TV. Like, you talk to any WWE person now, they're literally, they get, like, probably 4 or 5 days off a year.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're someone and they actually care about the job... They're traveling 7 days a week for probably 51 weeks a year around the world. They're in small towns, they're in big cities, they're in big arenas, they're performing for 1,000 people some nights. It's not just Monday, Friday, Sunday nights. It's usually Monday. If they're on Monday Night Raw, Tuesday night, they're in some podunk place doing what they call a house show, which is just a local show where they just show up. They may say some words to, if they're a heel, they'll say some words to get people to boo them, and then they have a match, and then that's it.
Have you ever asked Jeff Katz if he met Dwayne Johnson?
Uh-uh.
He did. He met him when he was absolutely first starting out. I mean, like, totally green. And he was like doing an interview for our morning show. He says, and this huge guy comes over and goes, "Excuse me, Mr. Katz, do you know when they're going to be serving breakfast?" because they get free food and they don't have any money.
Oh yeah.
And he said, this kid, because he was a kid, he says he has never seen anybody eat so much in one sitting in his entire life.
I mean, we're up against it, but. Dwayne Johnson has talked about how he's had to go dumpster diving for a mattress just to have something to sleep on in his early days.
It's a rough thing, but I'm definitely fighting with my family. Good movie. Got a ton to talk about, and I'll take your calls. 833-804-1140. That's 833-804-1140. That's how you get through to the Home Show, News Radio, WRVA. Richard McCann, News Radio, WRVA, reminding everybody, next Saturday is our Thanksgiving show. I have been brushing up on a few things, getting my fryer clean, working on that. We're gonna do quite a bit, including my cranberry dipping sauce. So good. 833-804-1140. Pete in Richmond.
Good morning, Richard. How are you?
I had a Red Bull at about 3 o'clock, and I just finished a cup of coffee. And I don't drink Red Bull ever. So literally, that sound everybody's hearing over their phone, it's not feedback. It's my heart.
I'd say time for a donut, man. That would.
Oh, that's just what I need. That way, yeah. I'll have a heart attack and get the diabetes all in one shot. You people are killing
man,
me.
Richard, I love LED lights that I put in my shop. I can see again.
Yes.
I love them in the bathroom. Okay. I hate them in the kitchen. What?
Why so? What did you do in the kitchen that you hate them there?
All right, I put in the under cabinet short lights, and I like those because they weren't so bright. And then over our cook service and our island, we've got two drop lights, and I put the LED bulbs in there. They're so white, and they're so bright. I just don't like the brightness and the whiteness.
Being able to see how dirty your kitchen really is, that what you're saying? Did you clean the kitchen, Pete? Yeah, honey. Unscrew these damn light bulbs.
I think part of it, you know, it's just so bright.
Pete, what you need to do is they make special dimmers for LED lights. All right? So that's one option. You can go to some place like, I would probably go to like Tri-State Electric or Atlantic Electric. Take one of the bulbs with you and see what kind of dimmer they can hook you up with. They also make different bulbs that aren't that just blinding white. I mean, there's lots of different, you know, wattages out there. But for me,
so in a kitchen, is the daylight or the more yellow? What's recommended? What do you like?
Oh, I like it as bright and white as humanly possible because I was supposed to buy bifocals. I'm actually wearing two different pairs of glasses, and I can't see anything. So I need all the light I can get. But if it's bothering you, the question is, Pete, are you married?
He's gone.
Oh, I lost him. What happened? Look, okay, so we lost Pete. Here's the thing. Does your wife like it? That's what's important. If you're not married, well, then don't worry about it. But, you know, go with whatever you want. They do make daylight bulbs. I like a brighter white. I'm sorry. I just do. But at the end of the day, Pete, what you're really going to need, put a dimmer on it. And for those of you out there that are thinking about LED lights, one, I strongly suggest it. LED is absolutely brilliant. I love LED light bulbs. We are slowly replacing all of them in our house. Now, that being said, understand you want them to match. Now, we have ceiling fans in all our major rooms, both bedrooms and the living room. We do not have you do not put a ceiling fan in a dining room because it cools off the food, and you don't put one in a kitchen because that's just dumb. But for anything that has a cluster of bulbs in it, you want to replace the entire cluster. If it's 3, 4, whatever. We live mostly in our living room by lamps. My mother-in-law said, I've got lamps for you. I'm like, okay. And next thing I know, we have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like 8 lamps in the house. I don't know where they're everywhere. What we do is in the living room, we live off of three lamps. When one of the bulbs burned out, we replaced all three of them with the same bulb. Same thing in the bedroom. Same thing in our dining room chandelier. I say chandelier. It's pretty simple brass with some globes on it. But the nice thing is it's original to the house. So I don't want to get rid of it. But that's the real trick. Now, here's what I want to tell you that's really cool. For the longest time, the bane of an electrician's existence. See, every trade has a job that they hate to do. Like, for instance, I said last week, plumbers hate frozen pipes. Hate them. It's just the worst. Because you're lying in water and it's really cold outside. Just not nice. The bane of an electrician's existence was recessed lighting. Not when it's new construction. New construction, no problem. I'll put in recessed lighting all day long. Even though, let's face it, it didn't give off very good light. Just kind of narrowed it down into one little spot. That was it. Not impressed, but people loved it. Then people wanted them recessed lighting put in existing situations, and that's just a nightmare because they always, you just look at them and say, look, I'm going to have to cut a bunch of sheetrock to get everything there. Like, well, I don't want you to cut the sheetrock. How am I supposed to get it there? But forget all that for a second. I went off the rails. It happens a lot. What they are now making now, that doesn't even sound right. Now making now. What are they now making? That's better. What they're now making is an LED replacement insert for recessed lighting. It is the coolest thing in the world. You pull out your old light bulb. This thing screws into the light socket just like your old light bulb. Bada boop. And then you have this flat disc of LED lights that just snaps right into place. Boom, you're done. They're not that expensive. Yeah, I think they were like $25 a piece. Okay, so maybe they are a little expensive. But the nice thing about these was, one, remember that I said the old light bulbs just gave you this really narrow little spot. These things spread the light out over the whole room. It's beautiful. Old light bulbs would burn out, and most of you had them in a high ceiling. So you're sitting there with one of those sticks with the, remember the light bulb changer? They still make them. You can still buy one. You know, it had like this rubberized springy cup on the end of it, and you're sitting there trying to get it up over the light bulb. And if you sneeze, you snap it off into the into the socket, and now you still have to pull out the ladder. It wasn't fun. Nice thing about LEDs, they last and last and last and last. I don't say forever. Nothing lasts forever. I've got a friend right now. She put LEDs in her swimming pool. They said, don't worry, these last 15 years. One of them burned out, like within 2 years. She lost her mind. Understandably, they were told to last forever. But you can just put these things right into those recessed lights. Boom, you are done. And then, like I said, you have to have a special dimmer for LEDs. You can pick them up. I go to electrical supply stores because that's what I've always done. Mostly because I just want to go up to a counter and say, I need this. And the person who grabs this all day long comes over and says, here it is. I get really tired when I go to the home shops and I'm standing in an electrical aisle and I'm like, hello, 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 hello. Anybody? Drives me nuts. But yeah, switch to LEDs, people. It's brilliant. And the nice thing is also, saves you a ton of money. A ton of money. And you can put them outside anywhere. Go for it. Didn't expect to go off on an LED tangent, but hey, you work with what you got here at the home show on News Radio WRVA. Don't forget our phone number, 833-804-1140. That's 833 804-1140. That's how you get through to the Home Show on News Radio WRVA. Home Show, 833-804-1140 is the phone number. Jordan, you and I are going to have to be looking into a concert that is going to come around next year. Because you listen to the music that we use for our bumpers, it's mostly 80s rock, and I heard Def Leppard is going on tour with Motley Crue. Yeah, I want to see it. Kent in Chester.
Morning, Richard. I have a question for you about radiator heat. I have never messed with radiators before, but got the opportunity to start a system up in a house I'm unfamiliar with. And I did get it to go, but I'm wondering, is there something you should do annually? And is part of that letting air escape from the radiators?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, when you fill the system, you do have to bleed all of the radiators, and that can take some time, because once you think you've got them all done, I usually end up going back 2 and 3 times to each one just to get that last bit of air, because what it'll do is air lock. You know, the system will try to be pushing the water through, and it'll hit that air and not be able to get past it. But you've already taken care of that. You bled all the radiators.
No, this is something. It was not new. It's been in use for years. It was just shut down for the summer.
And it may be full. Are they getting hot?
I was in the house about a week after we started up. The house was warm. Radiator was warm. Were warm to the touch. Yes.
All right, then that's good. So then Kent, don't get ahead of me. The only other thing you need to do is, what kind of boiler are you running, gas or oil?
It is oil.
Okay. Have you had somebody come in and service that oil-fired boiler?
As far as I know, the answer to that is no. And is it really a boiler? I thought it was circulating hot water. Is it circulating steam?
No.
Okay.
Okay. It's boiling water. Okay? It's not a steam system. A steam system is a different beast that nobody has anymore.
In fact, I've
been in houses in Richmond that have all the piping for a steam system, but they got converted over to hot water. And, well, the funny thing is, the system's so big, it's pulling the house down. No, it's hot water. I'm not joking. It's literally pulling the house down through the center. It's that heavy. No, a boiler needs, especially an oil-fired boiler, has to be serviced once a year. It's just essential. They're going to change your nozzle. They're going to adjust the electrodes. They're going to clean all the fins, because oil, it burns dirty. I mean, not as dirty as, I don't know, coal, but it's still a dirty system. And you want that thing running as cleanly as possible, so you're getting as much efficiency out of it as you can. Also, if it's too dirty of a system, it might fire wrong, and you end up with carbon monoxide in the house. The next thing is, when's the last time the chimney was cleaned?
I don't know. I don't know. We had chimney swifts living in it.
That doesn't mean that they
got cleaned in and put a cap on it.
Might doesn't cut it. Again, oil is dirty. It's sooty. You want the chimney cleaned and inspected just in case. I mean, I'm not worried about cracks. Everybody's like, oh, there's a crack in it. I don't care. But what I do care about is older houses, the liners can crack and break and fall. And that will stop up the chimney. And again, can it give you that opportunity for carbon monoxide poisoning in the house? Anything that burns creates carbon monoxide. And you know what? I've got better ways to go. Just falling asleep and never waking up, not on my list. No.
I'm
thinking more James Dean style. You know, the boy's going to kill himself in that car. Oh, that's just considering it. Lastly, Kent, do you have a carbon monoxide monitor?
No.
Okay, so to end
all. Where do they come from? Where can you buy one?
Where? Well, I'm getting to that part. Here's what I want you to do, Kenton, Chester. I want you to call Bremac. They're my HVAC guys. They are brilliant when it comes to boilers. And you tell them you need a oil-fired boiler serviced, and you want a carbon monoxide monitor. That way they've got one on the truck for you.
Oh, Bremac supplies them. Okay.
Okay. I think the monitor is about $160 to $200. I don't know exactly, so I don't want to quote you. But definitely get that thing serviced and just bask in that radiator heat, because there's nothing better on the planet in wintertime.
Okay. So service the burner, clean the chimney, get a carbon monoxide monitor.
Yes, sir. That way we're safe. And how old is this system anyway?
I'm going to say probably 50 years.
And the thing is, Kent, that thing will probably keep running, but it is time to start putting away your nickels and dimes for a better system, because the efficiency of something 50 years old versus what they have now is night and day. Whenever I see those big old boilers, usually the people are telling me, hey, look, I'm just saving up for the new system. And I get that. The nice thing is now, all of the HVAC service people I know, they can put you on a payment plan to put in a higher efficiency system. I'm not telling you to do it.
Okay.
I'm not one of those people.
I'm hearing you. Well, I'm thinking the burner itself is probably has been serviced in the last 10 years anyway.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be serviced once a year.
But all the rest of it has been there since the house was built, and I'm guessing that's a 50-year-old house.
Yes. So,
okay.
All right. I know I gave you a lot of work to do, and it sounds daunting, but I'm all about saving money, efficiency, and being safe.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Richard.
All right, Kent, go forth and home improve.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Do you know how many times I have been told that I was an oilophobe? By many people. You got to remember something, people. I used to heat with oil. Casa de McCann was originally oil. There's still an oil tank in my basement. I bought a gas-fired boiler, pulled out the monstrosity that was my old boiler, and that wasn't the original. The boiler I pulled out was a replacement. The original, who knows what that thing looked like, probably a Buick. Put in a small, efficient gas-fired boiler. Didn't have to be very big because the house isn't very big. Now, I will say this, it's not the most efficient. It's like 80%. That's 20%. I'm just blowing up the chimney. And I understand that. At the time, that boiler was what I could afford. Now, going forward, because the wife and I have decided we are going to stay in Casa de McCann for probably every bit of the next 5 years or more. Going forward, I'm going to put in a tankless boiler. They're now making boilers that are up to 97% efficient, which is crazy. But you are going to pay more for it. Now, if you got a 50-year-old boiler and it hasn't been serviced, you're probably getting 60% efficient, maybe. And the thing is, remember, oil, heating oil, basically diesel. Basically. Few differences. And so if you get the chance, and I know people in the oil business, they're gonna be mad at me. If you get the chance, convert. You can convert over to gas. And if the gas is in your neighborhood but not on your street, what I want you to do is talk to your neighbors and say, who wants to get gas? because I think if five people on your block decide they want gas, you can petition your gas provider to run it down the street, and they'll do it. Now, if you're out in the boonies, switching to propane is an option, but make sure of a couple of things. One, buy your own tank. A lot of propane companies will say, you know, say, hey, we'll provide the tank, but once you are on their tank, you only get to buy their gas. You can't put somebody else's gas in somebody else's tank. It's better to buy the tank up front. But again, get in on, if you're going to go to propane, you have to get that contract early and lock in your price. So there I'm at. But I mean, then again, there's some people, oil is what they've got, oil is what they can afford, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But get it serviced. Get it serviced and get your chimney cleaned, because that's the most important part. My name is Richard McCann. That's McKANN. I would like you to follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. You know how to spell it. I think you can find it. And don't forget, you can go to WRVA.com. You miss any part of the show, don't worry. You can download podcasts. If you don't know what a podcast is, ask your grandkids or your children. They'll help you figure it out. This is The Home Show, News Radio WRVA. Richard McCann, News Radio WRVA. 833-804-1140. That's 833-804-1140. Reminding everybody. Okay, so in about 12 minutes, the Richmond Marathon 8K starts. That's for people that are in better shape than me. They're going to go. What's 8K? About 5 miles? Roughly? 4.5?
No. 1,600 meters are equal 1 mile. 16, 32, 48.
Yes, you're doing math today.
Yeah, I guess it is. About 5 miles.
About 5 miles? Yeah. Okay. I'm using fuzzy math. At 7:30 is the half marathon.
13.1.
Okay. And then at 7:45 is the full-blown marathon.
Yeah, 26.2 miles.
Forget that. Now, do you know what happens tomorrow at 3 o'clock? That's right. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock at Dorey Park is the Dino Run. That's right. You heard me. The Dino Run. It's a little thing that they did for the end of the marathon. I guess that out in California, someplace like that, they set a world's record for the most amount of people dressed up in a dinosaur costume to run together. And one lap around the pond at Dorey Park is 0.4 miles. And Jordan, do you remember I told you my wife wanted to do this?
Yes. Is she?
She bought her costume.
Yeah, I know.
And she has worn it 4 different occasions now.
Yeah.
I mean, she wore it to Mojo's Halloween party. She is so excited about tomorrow.
But she is running.
She is running. Nice. In the diner. And they have to get more than 250 people so they can break the world's record. All I know is I'm going to take my WRVA insulated cup full of hot tea, and I'm going to stand in the gazebo and tape this thing. Because this is probably going to be one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my entire life. 833-804-1140.
Eileen. Yes, sir.
What can I do for you in Henrico?
I have an old tub and tile surround in the house I bought 3 years ago.
Okay.
1985, ugly gray that had obviously been painted and glazed. And it looked super 3 years ago. And now the tub, big patches are peeling. So that tub's got to go. And there are lots of other problems with it. But I'm wondering whether you recommend replacing the tile surround. It's ceramic tile. Or whether I can keep just reglazing or get somebody to do a good job of painting, glazing that pole, that piece, and just replace the tub, which
How about we don't replace the tub?
Well, I don't like...
Do you not like the depth?
Go ahead.
Is it the depth you don't like?
Well, no, the tub itself, well, it has a number of issues, one of which is that the overflow drain isn't connected to anything. So when I take a bath, it flows into my kitchen counter down below.
Yeah, but that's, wait a minute now, Eileen. That's
know,
not,
that's a plumber.
Yeah, that's not the tub's fault. That poor tub wants to be connected to the overflow. Okay. This is you being a bad bathroom parent. I don't know if that. My wife's a fur mommy now, so I'm putting daddy and mommy on everything these days. Look,
I'm not. Well, I mean, does a repaint on the tub even sound reasonable?
No, a repaint is a ridiculous idea.
Okay.
So you're new to this radio show, is what you're saying to me.
No, I listened to you years ago, but I haven't listened in a while.
Oh, that kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. All right.
Sorry. I know you throw yourself under your mom's bed when the show is over.
Eileen, here's what you do. I want you to call Miracle Method.
Uh-huh.
Okay? They're going to come in, they'll strip the bathtub, and they will resurface the tub and the tile into anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I did a leg tub with a granite outside and a blue, that's now called McCann Blue, by the way, interior.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I had a 1950s house out in the south side that had a harvest gold and pink bathroom. They came in, resurfaced the walls, the tub, the floor, and it was a brand new bathroom that looked modern and gorgeous in 3 days.
Okay. But does it hold up over time? Here I am 3 years in, and whoever did the job...
Whoever did the job wasn't Miracle Method. That's the thing.
No.
Reglazing is old technology.
Well, I don't even know that's what they did.
No, they didn't. They bought bathtub paint. They painted it, sold it to you, and said, see ya, sucker! Okay? Call Miracle Method. Have them come out. They'll give you a good price, because replacing a tub is a nightmare.
Yes, I know.
Why would you go? Don't put yourself through that.
Okay.
All
does
right.
It hold up for... Years, I want it for, I want it to look fabulous if I'm going to spend the money to get it, redone rather than replaced.
It holds up to me. Okay? You're talking to a guy who at one point in his life was going through a pair of work boots every 6 weeks because I was tearing them to pieces.
And I know you mentioned that you have people that you recommend on your website, for plumbing and other things, but I'm not finding a website where that is.
I never mentioned the website. I don't have a website. If you need a plumber, go to call BREMAC and call Miracle Method to get your stuff resurfaced.
Okie doke. All right. Thanks so much, Richard.
All right, Eileen. Thank you.
Bye.
Gary and Henrico.
Gray.
Gray and Henrico.
Enjoying your show. Could you tell me someone to get in touch with about leaking around a window when it rains?
Really?
I think that's what's happening.
Okay.
At the bottom of it. Mm-hmm.
I
can't think anything.
I call Aikie's Home Improvement.
Call who?
Aikie. Do you have a pen?
Yes, yes.
216 9371.
216 9371.
Make that phone call.
Okay. Oh, thanks a million.
All right, Gray. You have a wonderful weekend.
You do too.
Bye. You're right. I just looked and transposed those letters right quick, didn't I? So. Anyway, again, people, watch out for those runners out there, because they're going to be all over the city of Richmond. And God bless every one of them, because I didn't like walking from my house to my truck in this weather, much less running. Did you know they actually like it in this weather better? because it's
Yeah.
I had to pick up my sister-in-law in Charlottesville because they had their marathon in the middle of summer. Yeah, she fell out, ended up at the hospital.
Yeah.
It's not a good situation.
No.
833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. That's how you get through to the Home Show and News Radio WRVA. Don't forget, follow me on Facebook and Twitter. That's where you get to add your 2 cents to the show. We're here every Saturday, 6 to 8, 10 till noon, taking your calls, making your life better on the Home Show, News Radio, WRVA.
And here we go.
I'm in over my head.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions? He's got answers. You've got problems? He's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Welcome to hour number dos of the Home Show on News Radio WRVA. My name is Richard McCann, your humble home improvement guru. Oh, it's good to be here. I'm happy. It's nice and warm. It's cold outside. Reminder, if you're going to be going into the city or just tuning in, the Richmond Marathon has started, or at least the 8K has. That starts, and then at 7:30 is the half marathon. 7:45 is the real deal. Tommy McNeil. No, it's a friend of mine from back in the day. It was a good bit. So, Jordan, I need your opinion on something. I pulled the trigger as soon as it was available.
Yeah.
I bought Disney Plus.
Yeah.
But I only went with the $6.95. You're telling me there's another plan I should have looked at.
Well, they have a bundle. They've partnered with Hulu and ESPN. Disney owns ESPN.
Disney owns Hulu. Don't they?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they do.
But in any case, they have an option. You can pay $13 a month, and you can have access to basic Hulu, ESPN Plus, and Disney Plus.
What's non-basic Hulu?
Is there commercial? One without commercials.
You know what? It's annoying that there are commercials on Hulu. I get that, but here's the thing. If you're a Disney fan, there is a lot of stuff on there. There was stuff I forgot about. There's movies that I saw when I was a little kid. And what was really, here's just taking a second because this is always, I was wondering about this. In our new, more politically correct world, which I'm not saying that's a completely awful thing, I always wondered how movies like Peter Pan and the original Dumbo, we're going to get away with some of the blatant racism in them.
Yeah.
And so what they did is they put disclaimers on them.
Oh, yeah?
They put disclaimers to say, look, there's context. Because I'm sorry, and I've got Native Americans in my family.
Oh, yeah.
I was just wondering how they're going to get away with singing, "What make the red man red?" I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Although Song of the South is still not on there. And I know I saw it as a kid. Well, it was the 70s, dude. Okay, look. Nobody was woke yet.
No, nobody was.
No, I mean, people were still hitting the snooze button. And Wayne in Henrico.
Hey, good morning, Richard. I wanted to ask you about the dirty sock syndrome. Floating around in my house.
Okay.
From the heat pump.
Right. What's the question?
How do you get rid of it?
Oh, okay. Well, here's the deal. It starts when we go through this as part of the year where you go from hot and cold, hot and cold, hot and cold, depending on the day. And what you need to do is have your HVAC serviced.
They've done that.
Well, then your company, whoever did it, didn't do it right.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Have you ever dealt with dirty sock syndrome before?
Yes, it was. It was the unit was put in 2 years ago in September, and when we turned the heat on in November, the dirty sock syndrome appeared, and I called the company. They came out and put some spray on the coils,
mm-hmm.
and that about knocked my head off, caused my eyes to burn and my throat to swell, and then it went away, and then it just came back again this year.
I think you need to call a different company.
Well, yeah.
I'm sorry. There's nothing really you can do. This is part of. I mean, well, let's put it this way. You already paid these guys to come out and service. So I would call them back and say, "Look, I paid you to service this thing. I've got the same problem that I had a year ago. I want you to take care of it, and I don't want to be choking in my own home because
Correct.
It really shouldn't be that way." And I'm surprised that you're getting the syndrome off a system that's only 2 years old, because I thought they dealt with that like 5 or 6 years ago, at least the manufacturer did. So always give a contractor a chance to make things right. Look, we're all human. We're not perfect. Either, mistakes can be made, or something else can happen and it's not directly related. But if you knew that you had it last year, did you say anything to them about it when they came out?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, then definitely.
They said that it took care of everything.
No, nope. Tell them it didn't.
I'm going to call them back. Thank you very much, buddy.
All right, Wayne. Bye. What do you want me to say? As a former contractor, was I always perfect? No. I nobody is. Well, there was one person. But, we're human, we're fallible. So many different things can happen. I could install a part and the part was defective. Then it's on me. I can't charge you more for that, can I? Always give your contractor the benefit of the doubt. All right. Now, they come, they give you a hard time. Then no, thank you. I don't need you anymore. They come out and it turns out to be a problem again. Then what are you going to do? I'm going to tell you a story. Here's a story. Many, many years ago, before I started doing this, a customer, my father and I, and she wanted us to do massive work to her house. Massive. As I recall, it was redoing two bathrooms and a kitchen and putting in a HVAC system all at the same time. It was a huge scope of work. We were there. Then she called us up. Everything was great. Then she called us up. Everything was great. Then she called us up and said, "There's a leak underneath the sink of my new bathroom. No problem. We'll take care of it." And we go out there. And I climb underneath the sink, and I'm looking, and I'm looking, and I'm looking. And I don't see any leaks. But regardless, she said, "I saw a little puddle of water on the..." Thank you, and we left. We tightened everything. Thank you, and we left. About 4 days later, maybe a little bit more, we get another call. Something's still leaking. Little puddle of water in the base. I go out there. I run water, I fill the sink, I dump the sink, I run water down through the overflow. Nothing. Nothing. I mean, I did everything I could possibly do. I said, "I don't see it. Maybe something got spilled." Okay, we leave. 4 days later, we didn't get it. Long story short, I replaced the trap. I replaced the supply tubes. I reset the pop-up. It literally got to the point, we went back on this thing so many times, that I told her, either you're haunted or you're doing this to us. I was angry. There was absolutely nothing else I could do. Finally, like our eighth trip there, Dad said, remember, everything's brand new. Eighth trip out there, Dad said, forget it. And we pulled out the sink. Brand new sink. Pulled it out and replaced it with another brand new sink. Hooked up everything with brand new materials, even though everything I just put in was brand new. All the way. Never leaked again. What was the problem? There was some kind of imperfection in the porcelain, somehow. Some kind of little bubble that we couldn't see. A place that water was collecting, that even though I put water paste on it that turns color when it gets wet, couldn't see it. We lost, what, $800, $900 going back out over and over and over again? But we were determined, she was determined, and it had to get done. But then at the end of the day, imperfection in something that was brand new wasn't even user error. So I wanted to tell you that story because weird stuff can happen in construction. And you never know what it's going to be. It's Murphy's Law, you know what I'm saying? My name is Richard McCann, 833-804-1140. That's 833.
The Cleveland Browns have been playing most of the night.
Stupid Cleveland.
Yeah, and so the Pittsburgh quarterback, Mason Rudolph, got tackled or something like way late. So like he had thrown a pass or whatever, and the Cleveland defender still grabbed hold of him and threw him down or whatever, tackled him.
Which you're not supposed to do.
No, it's a penalty anyway. And so apparently Mason Rudolph like held on and then tried to yank the dude's helmet off that tried to tackle him.
Okay,
tried to yank his helmet off.
So he started it. Well, no, they started it by tackling him late.
Yeah, and then he escalated it by trying to yank his helmet off. And so what the defender did, Miles Garrett, he yanked Mason Rudolph's helmet off.
Got it.
And so that brought in other Pittsburgh players.
Because you have to defend your quarterback.
Yeah, and so Mason obviously was not too happy about it. So a little skirmish broke out, and Miles Garrett, who had ripped off Mason Rudolph's helmet, swung Mason Rudolph's own helmet at Mason Rudolph
and beamed him right in the skull.
He hit him in the head with it. It didn't make like perfect contact.
Well,
but
it hit the padding in the back. Thank God.
But it still was. Yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
It was one of the dirtiest plays I'd ever seen.
And you know, obviously, a lot of people. Some people were like, he needs to be gone forever. Other people were saying he needs to be suspended the rest of the season. And then some other people were like, he needs to be arrested. Like, he needs to be flat out prosecuted for that.
Okay, and I can update this for our people out there that watch football and listen to it. The quarterback for the Steelers who got the hit to the head has said very clearly, he's not pressing charges.
Right.
Okay, and it's up to him to press charges, as far as I know. But he said, you know, he's going to let the league take care of it. And he's been suspended, I think, indefinitely.
Yeah, he's going to miss the rest of the season. I mean, I would be surprised if the suspension lingers into next season, but Miles Garrett is definitely done for the year. I mean, it's week 11 of the season, so there's six weeks of the regular season left anyway. So it's a big chunk of time. It's basically a quarter of the season, the last quarter of the season.
That he doesn't get paid for.
Right. He's going to get suspended without pay. So he's going to miss some big money. But
I think one of the reasons it freaked me out so much is I've seen somebody get hit in the head with a motorcycle helmet.
Right.
And it knocked him cold.
Yeah.
I mean, and this guy had just gotten over a concussion, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I don't know if you ever held a football helmet, those things they're pretty heavy.
Oh,
they carry a lot of weight.
And they're, like, designed for swinging.
Yeah.
No, I'm not
being... They're designed to absorb, you know, high-impact you know, forceful hits.
But from someone who, you know, has practiced sword fighting and fencing and stuff like that.
Yeah. But it's obviously different when the helmet is on your head versus when it's being used as a weapon against you. So, yeah, it wasn't not a good look for Myles Garrett, not a good look for the NFL. And I think that's why he got suspended indefinitely, because it's like, come on, dude. Like, what are you thinking? Like, why was that?
He wasn't thinking. He wasn't thinking. That's the thing. Everybody got caught up in the moment. These guys are so pumped full of adrenaline at that point.
And then some people were like, well, you know, Mason Rudolph kicked him in the groin, like, because I guess there was some video showing that, like, after Garrett got tackled to the ground and everything, as the skirmish is breaking out, that a couple of dudes tried to, like, kick him or whatever. But, you know, I don't, it's just bad. Like, you're not, you know, at least in hockey, when a fight breaks out, you know, it's just guys swinging fists. And yeah, they can grab hold of your sweater and kind of throw some jabs. Like, they can grab the collarbone portion of your sweater.
Right.
And kind of beat you in the face with their fists, with, you know, a fistful of jersey. But, you know, you don't see guys taking off their skates trying to stab someone.
Well, look, no matter what I've seen on any of these things, nothing's as bad as that time in Brazil, I think it was, where the ref ended up stabbing a player, and then the fans came out onto the pitch and cut his head off.
That's not good.
That's a real story. My name is Richard McCann. You know, what's your podcast called again?
Unleashing Fury.
Unleashing Fury, which can be found at
thefamrichmond.com.
Thank you, sir. My name is Richard McCann. We get back 833-804-1140. We'll go over some ways to heat up a sunroom, which I'm going to have to work on tomorrow. There's so many options. People get sunrooms or these additions. Do they don't take into account heating them? We're cooling them, for that matter. So we'll definitely discuss that. Plus, I don't know if you've had the Popeye's chicken sandwich yet or not. I haven't, but I have a story that proves this sandwich is so in demand that people are actually bringing back child labor. I'm not kidding. Who's making your sandwich? At least nobody's getting stabbed or injured or hurt or in fights over a chicken sandwich, because, well, that would be silly. Nobody would. Okay, yeah, I watch the news too. I know how you feel. 833-804-1140 for the home show. Richard McCann at News Radio WRBA, 833-804-1140. That's 833-804-1140. So, Jordan, I found out you're not the only veteran of the home show that's covering the Capitals. Our former producer here at the show, Jesse Varner, has been covering them for some stations down in the Norfolk area. I don't know. Do you know Jesse? Oh, he's in D.C. Outstanding. He's a sports fiend. How are your Caps doing so far? I'm sorry to hear that. Now, were you able to go to the game last night? I understand that. You wouldn't have gotten out of there till midnight? Oh. You young people. Look, I went to bed early, even though one of the few shows my wife and I watched together, The Man in High Castle, was back.
Right.
And we got like three episodes in, and I'm like, must go to bed.
Yeah.
Do not binge. But I want to talk to you about football. All right? Because I... Again, not a huge sports guy, but this whole thing with, what was it, the Pittsburgh Steelers and...
the Cleveland Browns.
That was the most gruesome thing I've ever seen in sports. And you watch the most dangerous sport. Hockey's the most dangerous sport out there.
Yeah.
And what are they doing? They just...
So I didn't watch the game. I only saw it on Twitter. But apparently... It was like the end of the game. The game was already over. Pittsburgh was going to lose
badly.
Yeah, and and apparently the Cleveland Browns have been playing dirty most of the night.
Stupid Cleveland.
Yeah, and so the Pittsburgh quarterback Mason Rudolph got tackled or something like way late. So like he had thrown a pass or whatever. And the Cleveland defender still grabbed hold of him and threw him down or whatever, tackled him.
Which you're not supposed to do.
No, it's a penalty anyway. And so apparently Mason Rudolph like held on and then tried to yank the dude's helmet off that tried to tackle him.
Okay,
tried to yank his helmet off.
So he started it. Well, no, they started it by tackling him late.
Yeah, and then he escalated it by trying to yank his helmet off. And so what the defender did, Miles Garrett, he yanked Mason Rudolph's helmet off.
Got it.
And so that brought in other Pittsburgh players.
Because you have to defend your quarterback.
Yeah, and so Mason obviously was not too happy about it. So a little skirmish broke out, and Miles Garrett, who had ripped off Mason Rudolph's helmet, swung Mason Rudolph's own helmet at Mason Rudolph
and beamed him right in the skull.
He hit him in the head with it. It didn't make like perfect contact.
Well,
but
it hit the padding in the back. Thank God.
But it still was. Yeah, you're not supposed to do that.
It was one of the dirtiest plays I'd ever seen.
And you know, obviously, a lot of people. Some people were like, he needs to be gone forever. Other people were saying he needs to be suspended the rest of the season. And then some other people were like, he needs to be arrested. Like, he needs to be flat-out prosecuted for that.
Okay, and I can update this for our people out there that watch football and listen to it. The quarterback for the Steelers who got the hit to the head has said very clearly he's not pressing charges.
Right.
Okay, and it's up to him to press charges as far as I know. But he said, you know, he's going to let the league take care of it. And he's been suspended, I think, indefinitely.
Yeah, he's going to miss the rest of the season. I mean, I would be surprised if the suspension lingers into next season. But Miles Garrett is definitely done for the year. I mean, it's week 11 of the season. So there's six weeks of the regular season left anyway. So It's a big chunk of time. It's basically a quarter of the season, the last quarter of the season.
That he doesn't get paid for.
Right. He's going to get suspended without pay, so he's going to miss some big money. But
I think one of the reasons it freaked me out so much is I've seen somebody get hit in the head with a motorcycle helmet.
Right.
And it knocked him cold.
Yeah.
I mean, and this guy had just gotten over a concussion, what, 3 or 4 weeks ago?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I don't know if you ever held a football helmet. Those things they're pretty heavy.
Oh,
they carry a lot of weight.
And they're, like, designed for swinging.
Yeah.
No, I'm not
being... They're designed to absorb you know, high impact, you know, forceful hits.
But from someone who, you know, has practiced sword fighting and fencing and stuff like that.
Yeah. But it's obviously different when the helmet is on your head versus when it's being used as a weapon against you. So, it wasn't not a good look for Miles Garrett, not a good look for the NFL. And I think that's why he got suspended indefinitely, because it's like, come on, dude. Like, what are you thinking? Like, why... Why was that?
He wasn't thinking. wasn't thinking. That's the thing. Everybody got caught up in the moment. These guys are so pumped full of adrenaline
at that point. Some people were like, well, you know, Mason Rudolph kicked him in the groin, like, because I guess there was some video showing that, like, after Garrett got tackled to the ground and everything, as the skirmish is breaking out, that a couple of dudes tried to, like, kick him or whatever. But you know, I don't, it's just bad. Like, you're not, you know, at least in hockey, when a fight breaks out, you know, it's just guys swinging fists. And yeah, they can grab hold of your sweater and kind of throw some jabs. Like, they can grab the collarbone portion of your sweater.
Right.
And kind of beat you in the face with their fists, with, you know, a fistful of jersey. But, you know, you don't see guys taking off their skates trying to stab someone.
Well, look, no matter what I've seen on any of these things, nothing's as bad as that time in Brazil, I think it was, where the ref ended up stabbing a player, and then the fans came out onto the pitch and cut his head off.
That's not good.
That's a real story. My name is Richard McCann. You know, what's your podcast called again?
Unleashing Fury.
Unleashing Fury, which can be found at
thefamrichmond.com.
Thank you, sir. My name is Richard McCann. We get back 833-804-1140. We'll go over some ways to heat up a sunroom, which I'm going to have to work on tomorrow. There's so many options. People get sunrooms or these additions. Do they don't take into account heating them? We're cooling them, for that matter. So we'll definitely discuss that. Plus, I don't know if you've had the Popeye's chicken sandwich yet or not. I haven't, but I have a story that proves this sandwich is so in demand that people are actually bringing back child labor. I'm not kidding. Who's making your sandwich? At least nobody's getting stabbed or injured or hurt or in fights over a chicken sandwich, because, well, that would be silly. Nobody would. Okay, yeah, I watch the news too. I know how you feel. 833-804-1140 for the home show. Richard McCann, News Radio WRBA, 833-804-1140. That's 833-804-1140. Taking your questions, queries, conundrums, riddles, letting me know what's going on in your world. One of the things I'm going to have to deal with, I know this sounds really awful, but right now, at least sounds petty or small of me. I haven't really decided. All I know is, remember I was telling you that last year, thinking that the city was going to come by and clean the streets. You know, it's one of those things I kind of expect. And so I just kind of, for a change, instead of leaving the leaves all over my lawn, I blew them up and put them in a pile up in front of the house. I figured, okay, leaf sweepers come by, boom, get rid of the leaves. Didn't happen at all. And so I had a horrendous swamp in front of Casa de McCann until August. I think that's when I finally saw a street sweeper. Was August. Needless to say, they don't come by all that often in my neighborhood. And see, what I have to deal with, if you heard me talk about it, is there's two of them in my neighborhood. There's one on my block and there's one another block down. Is a very old and big ginkgo biloba tree. Or at least that's what I've been told. And the reason I find this tree so weird is because I've never seen another tree do what it does. It will stay green longer than any other tree in the whole neighborhood. Meaning, 2 days ago, uno dos, 2 days ago, all the leaves on that tree were green. Doesn't matter that it snowed. Doesn't matter that it's been in the 20s. Still green. Thing that makes this tree weird is that in 1 day, every leaf on that tree will be yellow. Yesterday afternoon, I noticed that a bunch of them were turning yellow this morning, and I went to bed early. So I got up early. As I'm walking out of the house, I'm able to see that the tree is now completely yellow, which means by tomorrow morning, every leaf on that tree will fall all at once. It's like a cartoon. You know, and Bugs Bunny slammed against the tree and all the leaves just went, poof. Yeah, it's pretty much like that. And here's the problem. Where's my parking space? Underneath that tree. My wife parks a little bit down. Last year, every leaf fell off that tree all at once. And my pickup truck, when I went down the road, it looked like a clown car in a parade just spewing confetti everywhere. It was incredible. So I know that when I get home, I can't park underneath that tree, but I'm going to clean up the leaves this year. I'm just going to blow them. I've got bushes, azaleas in front of my house. I'm just going to blow them up underneath that and let them do what nature wants them to do, replenish the earth. Because I'm not bagging them, and it's not because maybe it is a little bit because I'm lazy, but I see absolutely no reason to throw those in the landfill. For those of you who believe in global warming, you're going to say, if you throw them in the landfill, one, they're in plastic bags that won't decay forever, and two, when they do decay, they will produce methane, which is a greenhouse gas. And for those of you who don't believe in global warming, I will say this. I don't like the fact that I'm going to throw them in a plastic bag that's going to take forever to decompose. And when they do decompose, they're going to cause methane gas. Anything I can do to not put stuff in a landfill, I try to do. So again, I'm not going to bag them. I'm going to blow them up underneath. If I had a lawnmower, I'd run over them. I'd grind them bits. I think it's funny. People my age remember when their parents, or more often, their grandparents would rake the leaves all up into a pile, let the kids play in them for a little bit. Like, oh, yeah, we're in leaves. I don't think I ever got that part. I never understood, you know, playing in leaves. But then our parents would set the leaves on fire. That's right, young people. We would just have a bonfire right in the front yard. That was a thing. So I get the feeling, though, if my neighbors caught me setting leaves on fire in my front yard, probably have a problem with the cops. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that would happen. 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. We'll take your calls. My brother-in-law wants me to come and help him with some heat, but first I'm going to help out Brenda. Brenda, yes. Easy girl. Brenda in Wakefield.
We own a two-story old farmhouse, part of it built in the late 1800s, and it used to have furnace for heating, and now it's got electric baseboard, but it's just astronomical cost to heat it. And I just didn't know who you could recommend that we could get to come and, you know, look at it, see what we tried to find out through the extension service, whether it be someone who could come and look at it. It's, you know, it's been added on, so it's not a central place to put a wood stove or even a pellet stove, something like that. And anyway, didn't know where to turn as far as looking into making it more economical to heat.
All right. Well, there's a couple of different things to do. First, call, do you have neighbors that are anywhere close to you?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Find out which HVAC contractor they use. All right. That's a start. Now, I grew up in a farmhouse myself that the only thing that ran through it faster than the mice was the wind. And that's my dad's joke, so nobody can get me on that one. We tried a couple of different things. First of all, are you insulated?
Yes, they tried to blow in the insulation.
All right. And
done the ceiling.
What about the floors and walls?
I think some underneath as well.
Okay. The other thing is that house is balloon framed. So if you want to insulate the walls, somebody's going to have to come in and put blocks in the crawl space to get. Do you know what balloon framing is?
No.
It was a design for old farmhouses so that the studs in the exterior walls went from the crawl space all the way to the attic. So air would flow inside the walls and keep you cooler in the summertime.
Oh, okay.
But it keeps you a lot cooler in the wintertime. But you can have somebody come in, put blocks in there, and blow insulation into the walls. That's an option.
I think that's been done.
Good. All right. So we're ahead of the game. We tried a heat pump, but this was back in the 70s. It didn't work very well. You want to know the best way we came up with heating the house was an exterior wood boiler.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're out in the middle of nowhere. You can get it together with a tree trimmer, which means free wood. We got so much free wood from tree trimmers, it was ridiculous. And once we put in the boiler, it was basically free heat, and we kept that place at about, 80 degrees because we'd gone so many years without heat. You could also but if you're looking for a contractor, I'd call the State Board of Contractors and find out who's in your area.
Okay.
All right. That's the best place to start. Talk to your neighbors also. Find out who they recommend, because I'll be honest with you, I think I've been through Wakefield twice. And
never eaten at the Virginia Diner.
That's what I did the first time I went through. And now I haven't eaten since last night, and now I'm craving collard greens.
We had some last night.
I'm responsible for making the collard greens for Thanksgiving. How do you think? Imagine the pressure. But Brenda, first talk to your neighbors, then call the State Board of Contractors, and look into an outdoor wood boiler. You can make your own heat and your hot water, and you only have to fill the thing twice a day.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Brenda.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah. You want to talk about a great way to heat a house? And the thing is, all you have to really do is you put a secondary coil in your HVAC system. That's it. 4 water lines running out to your boiler. Cold going out. One to fill the and that feeds the boiler, and that feeds the hot water coil. And you got 2 lines going back. It was amazing. And wood is, if you're going to be using that much wood, talk to a tree trimmer. These guys are always looking for a place to get rid of all those logs, because they have to, if they don't dump it someplace, then they have to pay to get rid of it. Yeah, sure, some of them, they have their little side business making firewood. But we got together with like 1 or 2, and I swear, the boiler we put in that farmhouse, if you were person enough to pick it up, that boiler would eat it. And growing up on just wood stoves, I'll remember the first time we could wake up and it was just toasty warm in that old farmhouse. It's a day I'll never forget. My name is Richard McCann. This is the Home Show News Radio, WRVA. Richard McCann, News Radio, WRVA. Welcome to the Home Show. We are here every Saturday, 6 to 8 and 10 until noon. By the way, our 10 o'clock show is going to be cut a little short.
Yeah, again, we're not being preempted for UVA football. We're being preempted for UVA basketball this time.
Okay, all right. I'm down with UVA. And who are they playing? Thanks. I ask you this every time.
I don't know.
Over a year.
Georgia someone.
Another Georgia. Okay. Did UVA football win last week?
Yes.
Okay. That at least.
Yes.
Because here's the thing. If you're going to preempt us, you darn sure better win. I don't think that's too much to ask. I work hard. This right here. Kind of. All right. A little bit. A couple little details. I like to get to the little details at the end of the show. First of all, I want to shout out to a friend of mine named Blair. Blair Warren, she's been on the show, of all things. Blair Warren is the owner of Carytown In Style Salon. She is the one who has been trimming my lettuce for going on 5 years. Honestly, it's been close to 5 years. She said, "Has it been that long?" I'm like, "Yeah, it really has." She gave me a great cut yesterday. And no, it's not that she pays me to say this. The reason I bring her up is because she is one of those people that I admire for doing something that, you know what, more important people are doing. She went to VCU. She got her degree in graphic design. Couldn't find a gig. Couldn't find anything that was satisfying in what she got her degree in. Her mother owned a salon. It was a family business. She took over a family business. She owns her own business, works her own hours, supports her family, and for you creative types who get the degree in graphic design and the such, she still gets to be creative. Because let's face it, and Jordan, you better not agree with this too strongly, it takes somebody pretty creative to make me look good. Yeah, daddy. So I want to thank Blair for that. Second, today is National Clean Out Your Fridge Day. Now, I'll admit, we try to do that pretty often at Casa de McCann, but I want you to do it. Go through the fridge. It doesn't take long. In any doubt, chuck it. Honest to God, if you have any doubt about it, it's gone. Check things for expiration dates. Did you know there's an expiration date on Red Bull?
I didn't.
I did. I found out the hard way. Remember I said I had a Red Bull this morning?
Yes.
Okay, those two Red Bulls have been in my refrigerator since my wife and I met. That's not good. I took a shot with it anyway. But check expiration dates on things. So everything has an expiration date. Doesn't mean it's completely gone, but I opened up a can of vegetables the other day. I was just out of veggies. I don't even know where the can of vegetables came from. No clue. I certainly didn't buy it. I always go frozen or fresh. I rarely keep anything in a can. And they smelled funky, and they looked funky, and I poured them out. I dumped them outside, and I looked at the expiration date, and they were like 2 years past the expiration date. I'm like, that's not good. And I know for a fact there's a can of cranberry sauce up in that pantry. It's got to be 3 years old. It's got to be. Because I don't eat cranberry sauce. I make my own. Just saying. So go through the fridge. And if you're going to scrub it down, I would use probably a 20% bleach rest water, 80% water. You don't want anything real strong smelling up inside of your fridge. And like I said, when in doubt, just get rid of it. The freezer is the same thing. And if you're going to clean out your fridge, reminder, get what we used to call a foxtail broom, or a foxtail brush, I should say. And it looks exactly like it sounds. All right. Get up underneath that fridge. Pop the toe kick. There should be a pan underneath there. Pull that out. It's going to be vile. Wash it out. And then take that foxtail brush and scrub up underneath there. Get all the dust and dirt and everything. Vacuum it out on the coils. Because you'll kill a fridge if you don't do that every so often. And especially if you've got pets like we do. I kid you not. Now, I'll admit, I'm a terrible housekeeper. I've said this before. But we have two cats and one dog. And we have one rug. In the whole house, there's one rug. It's an area rug in the living room. We have one of those Dirt Devil canister vacuums. Not expensive. Works really well. And I like to sprinkle that pet fresh stuff on the carpet every now and then and vacuum it up. Because the hair and food and every other darn thing. And because of the pets, went from empty canister to over two-thirds full. Think about what's underneath your refrigerator. It's craziness. And lastly, for those of you out there that still have one of those old cabinet TVs sitting around, you know, it's in the garage or something, I saw the coolest thing in the world, or at least in this morning. My wife put me on a dachshund page on Facebook, and I like looking at the puppies. And someone had taken one of the old cabinet televisions, pulled all the guts out of it, the tube, all the electronics, everything out of it, put the back on it, and turned it into a little doggy sanctuary bed type situation. So instead of having some ugly cage or something like that in your house, you've actually got a nice piece of furniture that your dog can sleep in. Brilliant. That's all I've got to say about that. Absolutely, 100% brilliant. Sometimes I don't think I'm smart as I really think I am. So I would do remind everybody, the Richmond Marathon is in full swing. I am watching people run right now. God bless them. I am glad it's them and not me. But most of Richmond's going to be blocked off for a good portion of the day. So you want to make sure, if you don't have to go into the city, don't. Or at least go online. The complete route is laid out on online, and you can figure out where you can and cannot go. And for those of you that have one or just want to see something that's going to be hysterical, the Dino Run is tomorrow at Dory Park. They're trying to break a world record. And yes, my wife is going to be one of the people running in an inflatable dinosaur's costume. I cannot wait. This is going to make me laugh for so very long. All right, well, we are here every Saturday, 6 to 8 and 10 till noon, but right now it's time to get out of here. Jordan, light them up. That is another home show in the can, burned to a disc and put neatly in a shoebox underneath my mama's bed. I want to thank Jordan for not only getting up early, but going to bed early and pushing all the right buttons. I want to thank Dennis for keeping his finger right on the pulse of the news. For all of you that called in this morning, thanks for getting up early and spending time with me. We'll be back here at 10 o'clock on News Radio WRVA. Don't forget, go to WRVA.com. If you missed any part of the show, don't worry. You can download podcasts and take me wherever you go. I'll see you at 10 o'clock right here. News Radio WRVA, 1140 AM and 96.1 FM.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.